Hello and welcome to Knights of the Hardcover, a podcast dedicated to discussing and summarizing fantasy books, their lore, and all the things we love about them. My name is Brandon Castle, Jarl of the West Coast, and joining me on our very first journey into the Cosmere, fortunately I can change hats while you, sir, are stuck with that face, it's Chris Lauer.
You know, things tend to blow up around you, Brandon, but don't worry, I have thoroughly planned for all eventualities.
I love the Steris inside nice. Of you. It's really nice. And also today joining us, his lover was just turned into a mist wraith, but he's going to stick with her. It's Zach Misick.
Hey, everyone. Just got done sticking myself with some spikes. I'm ready to go.
All right. So today, if you didn't get it from that intro, today we're covering the three-book series, the second era of the Mistborn series by our favorite author of the pod, Brandon Sanderson. The fourth book is set to come out, The Lost Metal, so we're doing a general, very quick recap of the first three books, Alloy of Law, Shadow of Self, and Bands of Mourning, and we're going to just talk generally about these three books, kind of what our thoughts are, and kind of what we're anticipating going into this fourth release. Release is on November 15th. And then we're going to do spoiler section. Brandon has been releasing, you know, one chapter or two chapters every week for the last 8 weeks. So we're going to discuss those intro chapters and give some spoilers with that. So this will be a full Cosmere spoiler podcast. There's no way to talk about these books without full Cosmere spoilers. So we will be talking a lot about full Cosmere spoilers for those of you listening.
Wait, Brandon. Full yeah. Cosmere spoilers? So, like, Cosmere book?
Yeah. Full Cosmere spoilers. Okay. Confirmed. Gotcha. All right, that's gotcha. What we're doing today. We'll probably won't talk a lot about that, but we will talk about Chris. So, kicking things off, we just want to give a brief summary of each of the three books. These are going to be like two-sentence summaries. They're not going to be overarching. They're not going to give you the details, but it's just a quick reminder of the general story with each one of those. So I'll start here with Alloy of Law, the first of Era 2 of Mistborn. So this is all set about 300 years after the events of Era 1. These books follow a Wild West deputy named Wax and his partner Wayne as they investigate kidnappings and robberies. So the Alloy of Law starts off with multiple women, including Wax's fiance, are kidnapped due to having allomantic blood. Wax and Wayne work together to find the missing women and discover that Wax's old friend, Miles, and Wax's uncle are behind the operation for a group called The Set. While breaking up a train heist by The Set, Wax runs into that old colleague who is also a Mistborn, Miles. A big fight ensues. Wax's uncle escapes, but Miles gets captured and proclaims his allegiance to the mysterious God Trell before dying. That's the first book. Nice and simple summary. Zach, if you want to take Shadow of Self, we'll knock these out.
Yep. Shadow of Self starts off with a god named Harmony. He tells Wax that there is a Chandra that's gone crazy, just killing people. With the help of Wax's fiance, her sister, and another Chandra, they discover it was Wax's first wife that Wax thought that he killed. She was actually a Chandra the whole time, and she went mad, and she's trying to, quote, wake people up. They end up having to kill this Chandra, but not before the Chandra tells Wax it was Harmony's plan the whole time to have them get married and for her to be, quote unquote, killed, so it would force him to return home.
Perfect. Nice and simple. Chris, you want to hit us with Bands of Mourning?
Yeah, absolutely. So after the events of Shadows of Self, Wax and the gang get pulled into another job for Harmony. They are to find the Bands of Mourning, which the Lord Ruler used to subjugate his people for 1,000 years. During their adventure, Wax saves his sister from his uncle's suit before it is revealed that she has actually been the mastermind the whole time. They also discover a whole new population of people that live to the south. They wear masks, and they have strange tech that uses stored allomancy. Wax saves the day by taking up the Bands of Mourning, and later he gives them to the Chandra for safekeeping.
Awesome. Great, concise summaries, much better than when I write them. we're just going to start off with some general thoughts on Mistborn compared to Mistborn Era 1, Mistborn Era 2, what our thoughts were. We'll hit on the intro chapters from the book 4 at the end of the pod. So if you haven't read those yet, you can stick with us till then. We'll give you another spoiler warning at that point. But just to open up the general conversation here, Mistborn Era 2, initial thoughts on reading. What'd you think on the reread? And then what are kind of just, what are you looking forward to see in the next book here? Just to start things off.
Yeah, Mistborn Era 2, not as strong as Mistborn Era 1, but one thing I think that Mistborn Era 2 has over Mistborn Era 1 is humor. I think it's a lot funnier. I think you can tell in certain ways that Brandon has grown as a writer. There's just not as much meat on the bones as far as Era 1. I feel like Era 1 is just like a really well-told story, and it's all enclosed really well. But on reread, you know, it's really good. You get a lot more Cosmere stuff in Era 2 than in Era 1, and that's always really fun.
Zach, what do you think?
I liked it a lot better on my reread. I think Era 1 was like so good. I was kind of expecting that kind of level too with Era 2, but kind of going back and knowing it's more low stakes, or appears to be more low stakes and more fun and a lot more like humor, I ended up like enjoying a lot more of my reread. I'm definitely looking like towards to see how this connects more with like the greater Cosmere. I do like how they're like, they're shorter. They're usually kind of like a mystery solving each one. I know when Brandon wrote this book, the first book, it was only supposed to be like a standalone. And then he decided to make it an actual era and write three more. That's why the first book kind of feels a little different than the other ones. And he pulled some like inspiration from like Era 3 into Era 2 to kind of like flesh it out more. So I think that's why it kind of felt maybe a little awkward on the first read. But kind of knowing it was only meant to be kind of like a one-off to bridge the gap kind of in between what is now considered Era 3 and Era 1. I'm liking it. How about you, Brandon? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with all Brandon Sanderson books, it's way better on the second read through. They're always very good on the first read through, but you're kind of like looking for clues and like investigating and like really just trying to pay too much attention. So the second read through, you can really enjoy it and, you know, just have more fun with the book. That being said, it had a very tough bridge to comp with, wow, that was a work term right there. It had a tough bridge to comp there with Era 1, because those books were, I mean, absolutely incredible. Got my love for fantasy sparked again. It's Ocean's 11, but in like a fantasy world. So it's really, really tough to come back from that and find a story that's as intriguing. But I think, to Chris's point, these characters in this book are one, more fleshed out, more, you know, three-dimensional, and just more fun to read in general. The dialogue between them all is a lot more interesting, where everything's so gloomy in the first three, the first era. This we get to have a little bit more fun and really see those characters develop, which I loved about it. And Wayne, I mean, come on. Wayne's incredible. What a character.
Wayne. Love, yeah. Wayne. I feel like he really shines on the second read through, you know?
100%, and yeah.
I am excited for Wayne to get more fleshed out in this new book. Because it seems like we're missing a little bit from him. You know, he's just like comic relief, and I'd like to see, you know, why is he so fucking weird?
Yeah, and they start hitting at those kind of in the third book. We get a little bit of his backstory. He's going to that university and visiting, you know, yeah, quote unquote, like the girl that he killed her father or whatever. So
yeah, he killed her father, right? Shot her.
Yeah,
shot him.
Yeah, yeah. So we start to get some depth there, but I think book 4, we're going to get a lot more there to stay away from spoilers in the later parts. But,
well, and Wayne doesn't fire guns, right? And that's because he killed that man, right? With a gun?
Yep. I think he uses a gun one time in book 3 to save them. But other than that, he's the dueling canes and his speed bubbles.
Right.
Which is an awesome form of fighting. It's so much different than the Mistborn, just like, all powerfulness that they have. Everyone has very unique powers that they have to be a lot more strategic with in the era too, which I also kind of like.
Yeah, that's an interesting point too, is that I've seen some, I don't know if it's criticism or just a comment, that Brandon realized pretty quick after Era 1 that he can't just keep letting people be Mistborn, because it's just such a hack. Like, how do you write a story if there's mm-hmm. three Mistborn people, and they're just so much stronger than like every other entity. And so he really powered down like everybody in Era 2. Makes it a little more fun for his magic system.
Definitely agree with that. Well, I guess we've already kind of started on this, but we'll start talking through some of the characters. So, you know, we'll start with our mains with Wax and Wayne. I don't know how we want to structure this, keep it loose form or what you want to do, but just to start off the conversation, the dynamic between these two is great. They truly are, you know, for lack of a better term, like Wax and Wayne, yin and yang. Like Wax is serious, put together. He's a noble. He's a great fighter, but he takes things a little more serious. Wayne could not be the more opposite. He's always changing clothes, taking on new personalities, cracking jokes, never takes anything seriously, but and it kind of seems just like an insane person, but you start to see like there's some method to some of that madness. Mm-hmm. He's a little more methodical than he seems initially, but yeah, what did you guys think of their relationship?
Ooh, I really liked it. I think this might be one of the strongest relationships we've seen so far in Era 2, like pairing wise.
Yeah, good.
But
duo.
I do think maybe in the next fourth book, my opinion might change on that. I think Wayne really helps Wax shine more as a character, but I think I might like Wax more as a character than Wayne in general. I think I'd rather read what Wax is up to than Wayne. I think Wayne, his jokes land only like 60% of the time for me.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah. But no, I like how they work together. I like how they have, I think one of my favorite scenes with like the two of them is they have that tactic where he just like launches Wayne, and then Wayne like over a wall or something, he like breaks all of his bones so he can like heal himself to like get over the fence. I think a lot of that stuff is funny, but yeah, they really work well together.
Completely Chris. Agree. I think you have a good point when you say that, like what is Wax without Wayne? You know, if you don't have Wayne in here, Wax is just kind of like a curmudgeon-y old man, you know, or middle-aged man, sorry, but Wax needs Wayne, and Wayne needs Wax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine reading a book with just Wax or just Wayne in it? Like, it would not work. It gets so old so fast, especially later in the books when they split up and they're on their own missions, and so we'll get like a Wax chapter and then a Wayne chapter. Like those, that dichotomy really works well in the book.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, to get a little more Cosmere here, I saw something on Reddit that was like, if you think about Stormlight and you think about the Parshendi and their rhythms, I think somebody said, like, it's like, I don't know if this is canon, but I just feel like if Wayne ever went to Roshar, he would be able to speak in the rhythms, and he would be able to hear the rhythms and like copy them or whatever, because that's what he does. You know, he copies accents, he copies mannerisms. And I think somebody said, like, he would say, like, rust and hard accent they got here, but I can still do it, you know? Or something like that. I thought that was so good.
Yeah, I think he could do that, too. I do have one quick Wayne slander. When he does visit, when he visits the girl, the girl of the guy that he killed.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, so messed up. She's just like, I do not want to see my dad's killer every week. He's just like, too bad. I'm going to come and visit you every week or every month to give you this money. And she's like, please don't. Like, I do not. Like, could you imagine someone killing your dad and then they just like show up every week or every month? It's like, that's not to help you heal. That's like for their own selfish reasons, because they need that. Like, not you. I really just like was really mad at Wayne for that. I'm like, what are you doing?
At least she's going to college.
I mean, if someone was paying for my college, they could do whatever they want to me. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think there's reasoning behind that, but I guess that's kind of stepping on later book four stuff. So we'll save that one.
Interesting.
But yeah, I agree. That was super fucked up, and it was clearly just trying to clear his own guilt.
Yeah. It's like, it's for him. It's not, he doesn't care about her. 'Cause if he did, he would leave like that family alone.
Yeah. So what about Waxes? I think there's an interesting thing that is described in maybe the first book, and it's not really touched on a whole bunch, but Wax, he can push on metals, right? But he also has this thing where he has this bubble of slight push around him that deflects bullets at all times. And even he says, he's like, I don't even know how I do this. but it's not supposed to work like this, you know, and it's never kind of, it's not really like brought up again. You guys, have you guys thought much about that or what that might mean for Wax? Or do you think Harmony's pulling the strings there? Or is there something special about him? Anything like that?
Well, Wayne can do the same though with the speed bubble too. Like it seems like all Allomancers have the ability to do these bubbles around them that we didn't see in Era 1. And like you said, yeah, they never really explain it. So it has to, I have to imagine that when Harmony rebuilt the world, that something he did, like being closer to the sun or their orbit in the Cosmere in general or something,
but led Wax to like said access. That he was the only one that could do it, the only coin shot that could do it that he knew of. He said most coin shots can't do it.
Oh, I don't remember that then. I know that like Morassi and Wayne can each do like bubbles as well. So
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. He's just a real special guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of that, the main focus, like Era 1 was all about the Mistborns. Like that was the whole point of the story, was like the Mistborn people, the people that can use all of the Allomantic powers. But this one, it's really all about the relationship between Faerûkamists and Allomancers and like having this twin porn dynamic, which I think is really, really interesting. One, yeah, like you said, it helps level the playing field a little bit. There's not just these almighty beings that are all over the place, but yeah. I really like the integration of Faerûkamy into like the society now 300 years later.
It kind of shows you too why the Lord Ruler was so scared of Faerûkamists like surviving and getting into the general population, because if they started breeding with Allomancers, then they would start figuring out like, oh, he's not a god. He's literally just a Faerûkamist and a Mistborn. Yeah.
Right.
He'd start getting majorly challenged there.
Yeah, Lord Ruler's a little bitch. All right, let's go to the two main female characters here in the story. We have Morassi and Steris, who I believe are sisters. Is that correct?
They're sisters, half-sisters.
Half-sisters. These are very different characters. Let's start with Morassi. General thoughts?
General thoughts on Morassi. I think she's a good character. She's like, she's the underdog. She's a strong female character. You know, things didn't work out with her and Wax, and it didn't really matter. You know, she was just like, I'll move on with my life. Like, I don't need this guy or whatever. I think she's an effective character.
Yeah, I really liked that it didn't work out with her and Wax. Because I thought, like, in book one, I'm like, they're setting it up where Wax is supposed to marry her sister, but then he's going to realize that he likes her. So I'm really glad that he kind of zagged when I thought that he would zig on that. I thought she was fine. I like her kind of when she's kind of by herself in that police department area thing. I thought she works really well there on her own. Then also I kind of like her dynamic with Wayne too, probably the most.
Oh, even more than Wax and Wayne together?
Not to like step into book four stuff, but I think I do.
Yeah.
Morassi was, I mean, by far my least favorite character at the end of the first book. Cause she's just, you know, like a real rule follower, and constantly like, guys, we can't do that. That's, you know, that's against the rules. And it's like, shut the fuck up, Morassi. But, as you go, you really develop to like her. I think she's a very well-rounded, well-written character. And she starts to show a lot of depth in the other books. And she's like, saves the day in every single scenario for the most part. So that's great too. She's a real savior. So
she's got the parentheses useless power, right? That she like, time gets slowed down for her and sped up for everybody else. But I think Brandon, you know, effectively uses that power in clever ways in his writing to make it, you know, not completely useless, because it seems pretty useless.
Yeah. I remember the first time we learned about that, I was just like, why are we even talking about this? What the fuck? But yeah, saves the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It might be the coolest one now since we have those like allomantic grenades that she can like lob and like slow down time for other people that are caught in her grenade.
Yeah.
Spoilers for book four.
It's in book three.
Well, I mean, we knew about, that was book three. We started to know about those like grenades, right?
Yeah.
Book three had the grenades.
Well, the set used them. We didn't know what they were or how they were going to use them, but all right.
Okay.
She definitely becomes a lot more useful of a character with with some technology involved.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about Steris?
Steris, what a dud. What an absolute dud at first. But yeah, I do like Steris. I think her and Wax are actually like a really good couple. They work really well. You know, she's the planner. She plans for every eventuality, and Wax is like, she's like order and Wax is chaos. And so they work out really well together like that.
Yeah. I think Wax goes through what every guy goes through at some point, with a significant other, where they're like, I want, you know, like a badass, well, maybe not every guy, but me. like I want like this badass girl who's going to like be a rebel against everything. And it's like, in reality, that's not like a great partner. What you want is someone that kind of like fills in your blanks. And I think that Wax really realizes that about Steris. And like, it's like, this is a person I could like settle down with actually and be with and will make me better, which is cool.
Yeah. 'Cause
before, he was just looking for like a rough rider, just like Lessie. So yeah, he grows up, he matures.
Yeah. I think they both do like a little 45. Bit. She starts to. Yeah, he's like 45. She starts to like, you know, not like, what is she? She gets more into adventure and stuff. Like she'll hold on to Wax and she'll enjoy like flying around and stuff. And whereas before, when they first met, she'd never even think about something like that. She looked down at him for having a gun, you know. So
right,
the moment
I really started to love her when they're on the train and Wax ran out of medals and she's like, oh, I brought backups for you. And it was just oh shit, she's the best.
Yeah. Book three, she really starts to shine. That's when I started to like her.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on Steris right now? I mean, we didn't get a ton about her. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be a really major character in four. So
yeah, I don't have anything else for her.
All right, let's move to 100 Lives or Miles.
I liked him. I always kind of like when the villain is kind of from the same place as a hero. Him and Wax had very similar starts. I even think that they were compared as like two sides of the same coin, or, you know, sort of from the same path, but they diverge. Like they both could have easily been each other. So I really like that in a character. I guess I'm very curious about the whole trail of it all in relationship with Miles. And I do wish that Miles lasted more than one book. I feel like that's kind of my issue with like Brandon Sanderson.
Same.
I feel like he has a lot of like villains of the week, which a lot of times are cool. And I kind of get, you need to kind of wrap up something in a book, but I kind of wish that some of these ones would stick around for a couple books.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the point you brought up earlier about how Brandon only planned on this being one book kind of makes sense. You know, if he dies at the end of it, you know, Brandon's like, well, why would I keep him around? But I thought Miles was, he might be the most effective villain, I think, of the three in these books. He wasn't necessarily a villain. He just had a slightly different worldview than Wax and was equally as committed to making his worldview a reality. The Trell stuff, you know, we didn't know a lot about Trell at the time, so I don't know how much he influenced all that. But a very gray villain, I would say.
Yeah, and it was cool that we learned about the, oh my God, what do they call it? Compounding, I think, because he was a gold Fruchemist and a gold Allomancer. So because he had both of them, he was basically just like indestructible or like unkillable. He was an awesome, awesome villain. I was really bummed out when he actually like died and he never came back. I would have loved to see him, like, you know, be a recurring smaller villain throughout. He's definitely, in my opinion, Eritube been the best villain we've had, like, by a lot. So
he had a great death scene, right? Because they tried to kill him like 5 times, and he kept just being like, "You can't kill me," you know, until they finally did it. But he definitely put up a fight.
It was like a public execution too, right?
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
like
firing squad or something similar to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the best. Gosh dang it. Well, RIP Miles 100 Lives.
RIP.
You ran out of that last life. Yeah, who knows? All right, so our favorite Condra, Milan. Thoughts?
I think her, I don't know if it's a humor, but Yeah, maybe humor. I think I enjoyed her more than like Wayne when it came to like diffusing a situation, I guess, if that makes any sense. I don't like her and Wayne together when they were like caught on that train, just like having sex. I could have
not into it.
I could have. Yeah, no, I'm not into, I don't even think of like Wayne in that realm. I don't get how you can hang out with Wayne and like be into it. But
I guess you have to be like a 700-year-old mythical being to really understand him.
Yeah. I guess if there's any Chandra that would be in Era 2 that I'd want our main characters to be hanging out with, I'm glad it's Milan. That's who I'd pick.
Yeah. It's cool that we had a character with like history from the first era, because that's really, I mean, we have a couple that we get mentions of, but it's nice to have like a main character be from Era 1, kind of keep that history going. But that was cool. Yeah. It's cool that she's able to like be like, oh, this is what the survivor, or not the survivor, the warrior was actually like when she's talking about like Vin and stuff. I think that's also really cool.
Yeah, she has the personal experience.
Other than that, all the Chandra are kind of the same. They all kind of have the same disposition. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot more to say about her. I got some stuff from book 4. There's, I get why Wayne's into it, but you know, we'll get into that later.
She's a shapeshifter, you know, she can do it all.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I just say on Milan, I don't care for Milan. I don't dislike her, but if her character didn't exist, I don't think we'd be losing out on much. Like if it was just Tensoon again, I'd be like, okay, sure. I like Tensoon instead of Milan. Okay.
Tensoon's too important for them now though. He's the top of the class. So let's talk a little bit about Harmony, just his interaction with the world. His presence has been small but mighty so far. What do you think about him so far? Our boy Sazed turned to God.
I like him. I like, you know, he still seems like Sazed. He still seems like Sazed, and he still seems like a god. And I think it's interesting that, you know, he can't do all that much to intervene, you know, because he has preservation and ruin. So he has to do both things. You know, he has to ruin things, he has to preserve things. And I think it's a clever way for Brandon to like have this all powerful god that, oh shoot, I just can't help you out and like in this way, but I can still talk to you and interact with you. Well done again from Brandon on that.
Yeah, I think it's like a cool, like, I don't know, metaphor or stand-in for like compromise, because generally, you know, the saying like when you compromise, nobody wins type thing, or everyone leaves mad. When you had like two separate gods, they were able to affect the world and do whatever they wanted. But when you have one god that's both gods, he's basically like bound to inaction. And so I think it's a really cool, I don't know, I just wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting like his want to help but not able to help type thing without causing more destruction by helping. Like all of it's really cool character. Chris, when you listen to the audiobooks, is it still the same voice actor that did Sazed in Era 1? Fuck yeah.
Sounds exactly like him.
That voice is great. I love that voice. Mm-hmm. But all in all, I'm very interested to see how involved he's going to get in book 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully a lot.
Yeah. I think his scenes are probably always my favorite ones in Era 2, just because you always learn something interesting. You get to learn about what it's like to be a god. And I do think it's pretty funny, at least for me, like at the end of Era 1, you're like, of course, this makes perfect sense. Combine the shards, Harmony, this will be perfect. Mm-hmm. And then classic like Brandon Sanderson twist, it's like, nope, actually it's kind of like a hell because I am like bound to not act because they're both like pulling at me. So I thought that was a cool twist.
Still a better god than either ruin or preservation, I would say. So a bit of a level up at least still.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, moving on to our sweet Lessie or Bleeder. Also Bleeder. when she revealed herself as Lessie to Wax, did that take you off guard? Was that a surprise to you? What did you think of that twist?
I liked the twist in the moment. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
No, say I think if I remember right, I thought I kind of saw it potentially coming because I kept on bringing her up. So I think I almost saw it coming. But I don't know. I don't think it's like aged very well for me, in my opinion of it. I think it's probably my least favorite villain of this era so far.
I agree.
Yeah.
Least favorite villain. It's just weird. You know, maybe there will be some revelations in book four that you know, helps it make a little bit more sense or something like that. But just kind of odd, you know, if she loved Wax so much, like what, why are you doing all this other stuff, you know? And maybe it's just because there's something about Trell. I don't know. But not a super effective villain for me, as it being Lessie or just the villain of the second book. I didn't think the villain was super effective.
I agree with not liking it as the villain of the second book. I thought it was a fun, not fun, not at all fun, but I thought it was a cool twist. I didn't see it coming that it was Lessie, like from the get-go type thing. It didn't make a ton of sense in the end. It seemed kind of like a snap decision maybe by Brandon, but all in all, I thought it was a good twist. I just didn't necessarily think it made a lot of sense. And was a boring villain. After we got Miles, it was just like a definite step down as a villain. So
I kind of like the idea of Harmony needing to kind of guide Wax. So he sent a Condra to do it and it kind of backfired or got complicated. I kind of like that idea because we're kind of seeing that Harmony can maybe do some sketchy stuff to meet his ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't very effective. Yeah. didn't work very well.
How do you guys feel about the revelation at the end of book three where Harmony was like, you know, I knew you'd want to be the one to kill her. I just had to give you the time to realize that she had to die, blah, 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 and all that. How'd that work for you?
I feel like Wax wasn't nearly mad enough about this. Like, no, I would have been
happy about it. He was like, yeah, you're right. I do want to kill her. Like,
what? I would have lost my mind if God sent like a girlfriend for me to kill. Like, I would have, yeah, I would not have been a happy fellow about that. But definitely that didn't work super well for me. Harmony, you can tell, is pretty disconnected from what Wax actually needs as motivation. But I don't know. I guess it worked. So who am I to say?
Well, from Lessie, the villain of book two that I think all of us are kind of thinking might be the least strong villain, to the villains of book three, Suit, Wax's uncle, and his sister, who I'm blanking on the name.
Telson.
What do you guys think about them? Telson. Yeah, what do you guys think about them?
Another twist I did not see coming was Telson. Did not think that she was going to be the one behind all of this, that she was the actual like leader of the set. I thought that was very cool. Suit dies. We don't really care about him anymore. But I thought that was a very, very effective twist. We don't know a ton about her, so I can't really speak to her as like a villain per se.
Yeah.
But I think the twist itself worked well for me.
Yeah, I'm still debating if I liked that twist or not. I'm fine with Wax's sister being a baddie, but I just feel like Brandon wanted us to be surprised instead of giving us like a reason why she is. So the whole time I'm kind of like, why did you kind of turn to the dark side? What's like your motivation with that? I was a little bummed that she was a mastermind and Suit was just some henchman, because I liked Suit. I thought he was I thought he was pretty smart, and like the idea of him being the one in charge, since we got like the most with him and Wax, and we had like three books building up kind of their weird relationship. So I was kind of disappointed that he was the one that died and Wax's sister is still out there, because I know nothing about his sister. I don't really care about his sister. The only thing I didn't like about Suit was like the ending of book one, how like the big reveal was like the whole thing was just like insurance fraud. I remember like being really upset about that. Like that, like a Cosmere book ends with insurance fraud as like the big thing that happened. But
yeah,
I still remember that book club. I do remember you being very distraught about that one. So.
Yeah, and I completely forgot about that until this reread, and it got to that point. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. I was like, this happened.
Yeah. I would say maybe in contrast to what you were saying, Brandon, is that the entire time I was reading the third book, I was expecting his sister to be a bad guy. I was expecting that twist the whole time. And then I felt like Brandon just held on to her for so long where I was like, why is she acting so helpless? I was just like weirded out. I was almost convinced by the time she finally was like, yeah, I'm a bad guy. I was almost back on the, I guess maybe she is a good guy, I guess. But then she finally went the other way. I was like, okay. So I was almost a little like, I don't know. It wasn't a super effective twist for me because the whole time I thought it was going to happen and then I didn't because it took too long and then it happened. So I thought it was just kind of like, I don't know. I didn't like how it was handled. Maybe in contrast to what you're saying.
Just too drawn out. You would have rather happened earlier or?
Yeah, I think earlier because I don't know. It was just kind of weird for me. Didn't work.
The only thing that didn't work for me was that we just didn't really have a reason to care about Telson at that point. Like it was just like,
yeah,
she's the bad guy. And you're like, okay.
There's like a couple like flashbacks, right? Where she was like getting him into trouble and that was it.
Right. They had flashbacks to the village at the beginning, but
yeah.
All right. We got the gods, quote unquote. So we have Death and Trell. Death being Spook, I believe, or is Death
Death is Kelsier's
Marsh.
Brother. Yeah, Marsh. Yeah. Marsh.
Marsh.
Okay. Yeah. Once again, not really. Him. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
I don't say we only got him right in one scene so far. Didn't he give her like Spook's diary at the end of the first book?
I want to say he's been in two scenes, but that's the only one I can remember, I guess.
Yeah, and then Wayne dressed up as Death or pretended to be Death to like scare someone.
Yeah,
I like that he's still around. I wonder if he's going to be around for like Kelsier because we got like that Kelsier tease at the end of book three that he's still around. So I'm sure there might maybe be like an era three face off between those two or something.
Yeah, I mean,
I've
just kind of decided that he's just going to be around. I mean, like when you say still around, what do you mean? Because he's in era two.
Yeah, I guess still around is like having like a plot point, and I feel like it'll have to come against like him versus Kelsier, maybe era three. Cool. Like I just don't see him doing much more in era two.
I hope he does something in book four.
Kelsier has a spike in his eye now too, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know when or why he did that.
Interesting. I got some thoughts.
Kelsier has one spike. Marsh has two, but one of the spikes is like caved into his head.
Right. Okay. Yeah, do you think Marsh is like a world hopper already, or do you think he's just like causing mayhem on Scadrial and doing his own thing there?
That's a good question. I don't know what he'd be doing on Scadrial, so I'd like to think that he can go off planet and do his own thing. Seems pretty
independent. I think he's staying put.
I have to imagine him and Harmony have had like plenty of conversations, or him and Trell or whoever he's talking to, because he has two spikes in his head, so like they could definitely talk to him. But
yeah,
I don't know. That's an interesting food for thought. We just haven't got enough. They gave us just those little hints. We just don't know. Trell. We didn't talk about Trell. Trell is the big bad of Era 2. That's clear. Obviously warring with Harmony. What god or what shard do you think Trell is? Do you have any like guesses at that, foreshadowing, any idea of who you think Trell might be?
I do have a theory. There's whoever the god of White Sand is who I think Trell is. Because I'm definitely blanking on which god that is, but it doesn't have something to do with like isolation or
it's like autonomy or something.
Autonomy, yeah.
Autonomy. That's it.
Yeah. So I think it's autonomy, because I think it's mentioned at some point in White Sand that autonomy has avatars and is like trying to expand out or something like that. So I think that Trell is just one of the avatars of autonomy, just trying to, you know, make sure there's only one world or something like that.
And there is a character in White Sand named Trell.
Right.
It's like a minor, like background character, but there is one. name Trell. I don't really have any theories. I almost, part of me thinks that's something to do with Stormlight, because Brandon like wrote these three books pretty quickly and then turned to Stormlight and had to knock out a few Stormlight books and then go back to this. Like, you'd think that if this had nothing to do with Stormlight, he would just knock off this last book, but instead he waited like 7 years for this. So it makes me wonder if he had to like write Rhythm of War or something first.
Interesting.
To get to this. But I'm happy. I hope we get answers for Trell on this book, because I did get kind of tired of like a little tease at the end of book one. Book two, I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of Trell in book two, besides like her just like wanting to spread the message. And then book three, there wasn't a whole lot until like Harmony kind of showed Wax like that, like Trell's like around the world or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting tired of getting kind of jerked around. Like, I'm ready to like actually get into Trell.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. I definitely think it's autonomy, just only because at one point Chris said Trell or autonomy likes to meddle in other gods' world or other shards' worlds. And then we saw Chris show up in, I think, the second book of Era 2, maybe the third. We saw Chris show up on the dance floor. So it seems to make sense that she's like trying to find her shard or her god, figure out where it's at. But that might just be a misdirect too. It did start to take me off guard a little bit when they started like people working for Trell started having like red eyes. Well, hold on. That might be book four. We'll hold off on that. I think it possibly could be ODM or some similar thing to ODM too, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Stormlight comparison would make sense for ODM, but we really just don't know enough about him, about what he is. It might not even be a shard, you know? I think we're assuming it's a shard, but I was kind of thinking of this other theory, like maybe, like what if it's ruin, you know? Like what if Harmony is leaking? You know, like he's doing these things to try to preserve, like he's meddling a little bit. He's helping Wax in these little ways. Like, what if that also, every time he tries to do something like that, maybe he leaks a little bit of ruin or something. I don't know. Hmm. Kind of workshopping that.
Yeah, I like that.
I can see that. Any other characters? There's Renette, who we didn't talk about, who is an awesome character, but we didn't really get her in book three. She's mostly like book two and one. Designs weapons for Wax. Fun, witty character.
Yeah, I like her.
Actually, probably one of my favorite characters of Era 2, but she's so small, it's like not worth talking about necessarily. Yeah. So, anything else? Any other characters?
I don't think so.
All right, cool. So, let's talk through some questions here. We got a mailbag of just random questions. I don't know if there's one that you guys wanted to start out with.
Let's see here. Well, I got this Who is Hoyd literal edition. Like,
yeah,
who Hoyd was in these books. I kind of forget. He flips a coin to Wax in one of the books. That's the one I remember most.
He's the taxi driver now. That's what we've seen. Carriage driver was the last that we saw him in book three. He was the carriage driver.
That's book four. I think books one and four. He is that. Book three, he's a beggar. The beggar gives him that coin.
Okay.
Okay.
Book two, I think he was at like the wedding or something, and he made a comment to them.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't really have much in book
three. Yeah, he hasn't done a lot in the Era 2 books, or Era 1 for that matter. He's been absent from a lot of the Mistborn stuff, unless you're counting Secret History, obviously.
But yeah, it is interesting. Like, I wonder why he's on this planet right now, because we do know this is like after Stormlight, the first half. So you just kind of wonder what happened, because we know at the end of Rhythm of War, he got like some of his memories wiped, and there's now like a new person behind Odium. So you kind of wonder like what else happens. I feel like Kelsier has to be doing something in Stormlight if Hoyd's now back here and is trying to like call out Kelsier, like through Wax and Wayne.
He's trying to get Wax to take care of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So something, he must be doing something over there.
Okay.
Let's hit. I like this question. It's kind of stupid, but so if Wayne was trying to disguise himself to be you, what would he wear?
That is a fun question. He would probably wear my orange Knicks hat for sure. I guess if you really want to do it, you wear some ABC Lululemon pants and a pullover. Because that's what I wear to work every day.
There you go. And then the Knicks hat too, or not the Knicks hat?
Yeah, you'd have to switch it out. Knicks hat's casual. So if during the day, it'd have to be the pullover and ABC pants. Now, Knicks hat, maybe some Nebraska socks for casual.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if it was for work, it'd be like sweatpants and a smelly sweatshirt. So I don't really leave my house ever. But in general, it'd be like a beanie and like a nice sweatshirt is generally what all I wear. I don't know. We're Midwestern boys. We wear jeans and not much else. Zach, yeah, anything kind of the particular?
Same. No, it's kind of a boring answer. Probably like a baseball cap, shorts. Probably won't be wearing a jacket. Maybe like a sweatshirt.
A Nebraska shirt, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. If you had to choose anyone in the Cosmere to be the Wayne to your Wax, so basically, if you could choose one sidekick in the Cosmere, who would you choose?
Oh man, what a tough question.
I got my answer. I can go first. It's the
correct
answer.
Ahead.
Mine would definitely be Lopen, excuse me, the Lopen from the Stormlight Archives, because he's a wind dancer. What's the word I'm looking? Wind dancer?
Wind runner.
Oh my god. Yeah, holy that's god. Right. I need to read those again. He's a wind runner. He's funny. He's got 1,000 cousins, so everywhere you go, you can have someone that helps you out. And he's just a reliable friend. He'd be there for you no matter what. I think he's the perfect sidekick to have.
That's nice. I think I'd choose Sayzed. Arrow 1 Sayzed, you know? Somebody that just takes care of all the bullshit, you know? But he's also kind of a nice guy. You know, you can hang out with him. But I wouldn't have to worry about anything ever. He'd just handle it.
I don't know. One bad breakup and that guy's gone forever, man. He spiraled fast.
Yeah, he did.
Pre-breakup
says, okay. Zach,
I'd probably pick Yesna. Even though like in that situation, I'd probably be the Wayne to her Wax. I'd be the Shallan in that. But I think she's like very knowledgeable. I like her around. She literally like would burnt like half an army, just like turned air into fire. So I think she'd be nice to have around.
True.
Yeah, she's kind of like Hoid's Wayne in a sense.
Yeah.
I still don't know how that relationship works. Who's wearing the pants there? But
yeah, we'll have to see what happens in book 5 with those two.
Yeah,
especially if he goes to Scadrial after that book. But I like this next question, and I'll answer it quick. But Zach, I think you might have some opinions about this. How many drinks before you hook up with a Chondra? And I'm like Brandon. It's not going to take me very many drinks. I mean, they're shapeshifters. What do we have to worry about here?
But aren't you afraid that one of them's missing a spike? And they'll go like crazy on you.
No,
even like better.
Murder you.
Even fucking better. That's so hot.
I mean, you could say that about literally anybody ever. Like, aren't you afraid that the person you're hooking up with is going to go crazy and stab you? Like, no.
Yeah.
I might take out that spike sometimes just to see what happens.
I think I'd be grossed out wondering what bones they're using. It's like a dead person's bones that you're feeling. And I almost feel like
it's a true body.
Yeah. I almost feel like it wouldn't be good.
True bodies are hot. All bodies are hot, but true bodies are hot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it would be very good because it seemed okay. Quick book 4 spoiler, but she's told Wayne that there's like the best she's ever had. And if like, I just don't believe that. So that's kind of like what we're working with. And I don't know if I want to be with a Chandra. If like Wayne is the best.
I firmly believe in high school, it was always the dumbest guys that made the, like, that the girls were always into, you know, that's what, like the basic mating call is just a dumb guy that's really good at sex.
Yeah, in high school, but not like when you're 600 years old.
In high school.
Zach, but your comment is about Wayne, though. That doesn't have anything to do with how good she is in bed.
Yeah, I guess I just don't like trust her judgment if she like is into that.
Oh man, we're talking low standards. We're talking can change her body anytime she wants, and we're talking she might be a little bit crazy. Milan might actually be my perfect woman, to be honest. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're in the thick of it, and she's like, "How is this? You want smaller, bigger? You know, what do you want? You could just set it up right there. Do whatever you need to do."
I'd just be very intimidated.
She could reverse the roles too every now and then, you know. A little pagan added in there too.
Oh, sure. Perfect. Yeah, why not?
My God. Wow, we gotta move on before I get too horny. All right.
Should we do one more of these and then move on to a quick spoiler? Say how we're liking the fourth book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. let's choose a good one. We already talked about best villain. Let's do that's too hard. There's too many options there. All right. If you could choose any one character, like, it doesn't have to be likely, it doesn't have to be like you think this is going to happen, but if you could have any Cosmere character added into this fourth book, which would you like to see? Doesn't matter how unreasonable it is.
Oh, wow. Doesn't matter how unreasonable it is. We can get pretty wild with this. I'm probably just going to make it normal. I'd like to see Shallan in this fourth book, because I think her future is as a world hopper. So I just kind of like to see that, you know, that's confirmed that she's out here doing shit.
That'd be a good one. Yeah. I feel like I could really see her and like Morassi getting along well too, or like her and Steris or something.
Yeah. Her and Renette might hook up if she's Vale. Although I think she got rid of Vale, but whatever.
Well, for now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough question. I want to see Lyft. I want to see Lyft in this world.
Oh,
I want
to see that'd be
that's,
fun.
That was mine. That was my answer.
Good pick.
Lyft and Wayne together would be a hell of a time.
Lyft and Wayne would be fun. Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. If I couldn't pick Lyft, I'd maybe pick the Sleepless. I think it'd be cool to see the Chandra like freaking out about like another like shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Ancient being shapeshifter.
Yeah, the Sleepless would be really good. Also, yeah, another kind of lame pick. I would just like to see Kelsier. You know, I know he showed up in the third book like for a hot second, but if he was an actual character, like if we get to see him like run something, I'd like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see him and Wax fight, just like a Hoid versus Kelsier type situation, but like Wax versus Kelsier. That'd be the dialogue would be very interesting. Maybe we'll get it. Who knows?
Do you guys think Suit's going to show up in this book?
Well, isn't Suit Kelsier?
Suit's dead.
Is Wax's uncle.
I mean, yeah. I thought you meant the set. Because isn't Set Kelsier?
I don't know. I don't think we know that yet. But when Suit died, he blew up, right? They like literally like blew him up. But they said that they had plans for him. They're like, we have plans. We have big plans for you. That made me think that they're going to somehow bring him back as a cognitive shadow. I don't know if you guys have considered that or something.
I would like that. I like the idea of him not being dead. I like his relationship with Wax.
I swear that they said, like, we're not done with you yet. And then they blew him up.
They definitely said that. I'm wondering if that, you know, means they're going to use his bones for a Chandra or if that's what they mean. We need some more cognitive shadows. We haven't gotten anything since Secret History. I don't know, 10 years ago now. So,
yeah. One more thing real quick that we did not mention that's unique to Era 2 is those broadsheets, those like newspaper articles. I think those are really fun. Like look through and those like different like ads or like the stories. I think those are like really fun to like dissect and look at. I think that's a fun addition.
to Allomancer like Jack.
Yeah, I was gonna say my hot take is Allomancer Jack's a world hopper, still alive.
I like that.
They said that like he could eat rocks, which made me think that he has like that form of stormlight that you can like you turn into rocks and stuff like that. Oh my god, I can't remember.
Oh yeah, yeah. Stone something.
Yeah.
Stone ward or
something. I do have a kind of fun theory with the book 4 spoiler stuff, if you guys are ready to move into that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's hit
spoilers
it.
Through this... chapter 12.
Chapter 12. Spoilers. Book 4. Lost Metal.
Spoilers. Okay, so Brandon, chapter 13 or chapter 12?
Whatever's out right now.
It's chapter 12.
Okay.
But yeah, I was just going to say, I think the first chapter we get, it's a Wayne flashback, right? And his mom is telling him a story about Allomancer Jack, right?
Right.
What if Wayne is just literally like making up Allomancer Jack and writing about it? And like sending it off to these publications, and he's just like literally trolling with that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I would love to see that. I want Allomancer Jack to be something else. There's so much about him in these like broadsheets that he has to be something more than just a story guy.
Well, it might be a slight spoiler, if you would even call it that, but it looks like I saw some photos like. You know they're doing that Brandon Sanderson convention, that Dragon Steel thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
The like the stickers for that is like Allomancy Jack. So I just makes me wonder if he has something to do with like book 4. It's like why would he be one of the stickers that they're handing out?
What if he's Kelsier?
That'd be funny.
Kelsier's just writing about himself.
Or what's his name? The Lord Mistborn. Gosh, I'm forgetting his name, but he's a character from Spook? Era One. Spook, yeah. It's Spook's just still hanging out and just having a good time. He got tired of leading 200 years ago, so.
Allomancer Jack seems like a little too much fun for Spook. Spook's not a fun type of guy.
Yeah.
Was a bad time.
Yeah.
my very first note from this was Jack the Allomancer, world hopper.
That'd be cool, especially because Wax hates him so much. Like every time Wax gets a chance, he slanders Allomancer Jack, so it would be kind of cool if he's, you know, a legitimate Allomancer and not just like a joke who's in these newspaper articles or whatever.
I would love that. I'm hoping for that.
But what are you guys thinking about these first 12 chapters?
So fucking good. I cannot wait to get into this. The very
so
last
happy to
thing
be back.
Oh my god, it feels good. Like, everything about it. We got like 10 Cosmere references in these first 10 chapters or 12 chapters, and it was just every one of them was perfectly what I wanted to see in these first 10, 12 chapters. So,
and we already got Hoyt. Hoyt's already made an appearance.
It didn't take long. Carriage driver still, 6 years later, still driving that carriage.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's got an eye on Wax.
I think this is easily so far like the best book of Era 2. It seems like the plot is like really big because right now you have Ellendale like just pass the votes to basically like rule over the outer cities, and then now you have those mass people from the south might be like attacking here potentially. I don't know, just like tensions are rising all throughout the world. You have like new technologies. Trell is really making an appearance.
Yeah,
characters are leaving to explore the Cosmere. It's just really, really good setup.
That was so cool that she's just like, yep, I'm going to a different planet. And I was like, holy shit, you can do that already? And then she says the words Shadesmar. And I was like, fuck, we're doing
it. Well, Brandon, I had the same thought. I thought they weren't allowed to leave planet. Like, Kelsier can't leave planet. And then I remembered that Chondra aren't cognitive shadows. They're just immortal beings, you know? So I'm like, oh, yeah, Chondra can hop off planet, you know? So
yeah, so cool. I cannot wait to see her run into somebody in the Shadesmar. I guess that'll be after. This would be after book 5 of Stormlight. So we don't know if there's anyone in Shadesmar there right now, I guess. So I just hope she runs into someone from Roshar and we get some kind of interaction or something, some information sharing or anything like that would be very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like seeing Milan. Well, I guess this is you just said this was after Era 5, so I guess we wouldn't see her in Stormlight 5 or whatever. But
yeah. Do you guys think that we will see some Stormlight characters in this fourth book?
I don't think we'll hear from Milan after the next chapter until Stormlight 6, probably.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm.
This will be the departure of her forever.
Yeah.
Or what do you think now, of the new metal that they found? It kind of triggered like Rhythm of War flashbacks of just, like studying metals. I kind of like that. Totally, it seemed like Trellium is like only reacting when it's near Harmonium, whatever.
Harmonium.
Harmonium.
Et metal.
Whatever it's Harmonium. Called. There you go. That's good. Have you guys read the blurb at the top of the sample chapters? That like three paragraph synopsis?
No. I read that.
I read that.
Okay, Zach, close your ears for a second because I have a theory. If you're trying to avoid that,
no, it's fine.
Are your ears closed? Okay. But basically, in that summary, it says that Wax discovers like a new powerful explosion or something like that. And in the sample chapters, he's trying to split Harmonium into Atium and Larazium. And I think it's going to be like splitting the atom. Like he's going to split this metal just like you would split an atom, and it's going to cause like an atomic explosion. That's what I think.
That's going to turn everybody into Mistborn.
Oh, wow. Full Mistborns and Faerukamis. Oh, my God. They'd be unstoppable.
Well, if that's how the ash comes.
Oh, because he caused a big explosion. I like it.
Because it's that one guy who's like possessed by Trell or whatever. Is like, there'll be ash.
Yeah.
And there's like, how can there be ash? Like, we're so, like, the planet's not even the same.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting. I wonder if that's also like how you'd make a, what's the accents points called? Perpendicularity.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Oh,
and then maybe, maybe that's what the sets did too. They didn't kill the uncle. This caused like a perpendicularity explosion.
Ooh, that's fun. Yeah.
Interesting.
Turn him into a cognitive shadow right there. Mm-hmm. Well, Zach, you mentioned earlier how Marcy and Wayne have a good dynamic. And I got to come out and say it. I agree with you. I think they do have a pretty good dynamic. But Marcy is a lot like Wax, so it's a very similar dynamic, I think, to the one that him and Wax have. But you know, if you got to do something else with Wax, you know, Wax has to go do these things. He can't keep showing up like a Ruffs warrior and doing all this stuff. Marcy's a good second banana to Wayne.
Yeah, I like where they're at right now. I like the pairings. I like Wax with his wife and Wayne with Steris. I think it works well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that their relationship was great. That whole scene was great. I mean, everything that we saw so far, they really just, one, I was pumped that they did a little bit of a time skip forward so that we could see kind of where things were 5-6 years later. I loved that. Hopped right into it. We're going to get a lot more politics in this one, it seems like, which is fine because we got a lot of that in Mistborn Era 1. I think it really like added to the story. I don't love Wax as like a, I don't know, politician. I didn't really love that, but seems like he's going to get back into the old ways. But it was fun seeing like Wax and Steris, the scientists. That was adorable. So
yeah.
Also, I don't.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't like him as a dad. That's probably my least favorite part of the books. Max.
I got a big issue.
Let's leave the kids out of here. It's like a big moment. And he's like, I need to go use a bathroom. I didn't need any of the dad. The Wax Max stuff at all.
See, I'm okay with the dad stuff. I think it's good. But what I have a huge problem with is what Brandon named that fucking kid. Because Max and Wax look so similar on the page. And it keeps confusing me. It's like Max says this. And I'm like, what? Max? No, it's just like so annoying when they're in seats together.
Well, my big issue with it is, in general, I don't like in media when they bring in a child, like when they go through the whole like love story, marriage, and then they have kids. It just always turns into the same story. It's like, how are we going to do our normal jobs while changing diapers? Oh, no. And it's just like it kind of dulls down the actual story they're trying to tell. It does make the characters a little bit more like, round it out, I guess. But I just in general don't like that. At least we skipped like the infant stages with them. We don't have to watch them like do that crap. But
well,
that was my one big. I agree with Zach there. Yeah.
Yeah. Who did you guys think when Steris trapped the baddies in the slowdown bubble? There was like a flash of what we think is like a woman stand next to the bubble and then just like fuck off. Yeah. Any ideas of who that person is? Do you think it's Wax's sister? Do you think it's someone, a world hopper, a brand new character?
My first guess was Chris. I don't really have a second guess, and I'm not sure if it even makes sense that she would do that, but I could kind of see her being like, oh, I'm just going to observe the speed bubble and then dip, you know, and we never hear from her again.
My assumption was that it was Telson, Wax's sister, and there was another of the Trillium spikes in one of the people or something like that. And so she was coming, or there was something in those boxes that was Trillium or something. She had to come to recover that before they could get to it. But that's just a complete guess. I mean, that's like the only other, it's like the two women that we know at this point that would do that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure who else would be. It'd be cool if it was some like world hopper, but we don't, maybe it was the avatar for Trell if it does appear in physical form.
I was going to just tag onto that. Trell choosing his avatars right now, they have red eyes. Makes me think it's Odium. Odium's avatars historically have the red eyes when he's choosing them for the fused and everything. So that was the only thing that like really brought doubt in my mind that was going to be autonomy. That was Trell. So I'm a little bit interested to see how that's going to tie together. It seems like Stormlight and Mistborn are really becoming intertwined heavily now. So
yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say, Zach?
No, I was going to ask what you guys thought, or do you think? Because in the beginning, Wax gets like a letter from who we're supposed to believe is Harmony with like another earring. And it was like, make another one with like no other instructions.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a good path Wax is on of turning Trillium into an earring and wearing it? Or do you not think that this is a good idea? It's not Harmony. So I feel like it's going to blow up in his face.
If he puts that earring on without talking to Harmony first, he's a fucking idiot. Like you got to put on your Harmony earring first and ask like, you sure? You know,
if we learn anything from Era 2 so far, it's don't fucking put things in your body without confronting with your god first. Like, don't do piercings. Like, it's a bad idea always. So, I would say it's a 1% chance that was Harmony that wrote that note. And even one might be generous.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just like so much, even like advancement with those grenades. Even with like the flying ships, we still don't know like how those ships fly or like the medallions.
Yeah.
It's crazy like how much technology has advanced already just like within Era 2. And it's gonna be crazy to see what it looks like. And I feel like it's all gearing up towards a battle with like Roshar. Either that's like Era 4. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of cool to have these different weapons. And the whole time I'm thinking like with these grenades. Like, could you just imagine Kelsier being like full strength, full radiance, and then someone like lobs this grenade and it totally just like depowers him, Syl disappears. It's like wild. Like that very first time that Roshar is faced with Scadrillion technology. It'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean they're close to space already. They said they can get out into the atmosphere where it gets thin, so they're almost already spacefaring people, so we're close.
They can go the old-fashioned way.
Any other predictions? Anything else you guys want to add for the book 4? You know, we only have 12 chapters, so not a ton to talk about, but I could not be more excited for this book.
Yeah, I don't have any other predictions or anything else. I'm just very excited. I think it's going to be Cosmere heavy. I'm ready to see how this ties into Stormlight, and glad we're back in Cosmere. It's going to be a great, you know, 14 months, you know, every 3 months we're going to get another Cosmere book, except for one, I guess, but it's going to be nice.
Yeah. When do the secret projects start?
Next year.
January.
Oh, hell yeah. This is going to be perfect. All right. Well, yeah, I'm hoping that we see some Kelsier in this one. I hope he becomes an actual character. We get at least some dialogue from him is what I'm really hoping for in the book. But other than that, I don't really have any other predictions. Just really looking forward to that. So,
yeah.
Cool. Well, that wraps up this podcast about Mistborn Era 2. Like we said before, the fourth book drops on November 15th, so I'm sure we'll be covering that immediately after it comes out, because, as you can tell, we're very excited for that. Keep listening. In the meantime, we'll have some more pods coming out, touching on some other books. Until then, once again, we are the Knights of the Hardcover.
Huzzah!